Dearly beloved in the hearts of Jesus and Mary, the feast of the apparition of St. Michael the Archangel on May the 8th commemorates an apparition of the Prince of the Heavenly Host on Monte Gargano in the southern part of Italy in the 5th century. The apparition itself is considered to be an undisputed fact, but there has been some discussion as to the date of that apparition. The date usually given is May the 8th in the year 490. At any rate, May the 8th was for many centuries the date on which the Church honored St. Michael the Archangel with a feast. Until the 16th century, it was not so much the apparition of St. Michael that was stressed in the feast, but rather a great victory that the people of the Mount Gargano region won over their enemies, the Goths and the Greeks, under the patronage of St. Michael the Archangel. In the latter part of the 16th century, Pope St. Pius V, the restorer of the ancient Roman Missal and Roman Mass, now often called the Tridentine Mass, gave the feast of May the 8th the title familiar to us, the Apparition of St. Michael the Archangel. This feast of the Holy Archangel fell victim in our times to what was originally and deceptively called the simplification of the liturgy. One of the demands of the so-called liturgical simplification was that there should be no duplicate feasts on the church calendar. Since the feast of the dedication of St. Michael the Archangel on September the 29th was considered the principal feast of that holy archangel, the feast of May the 8th was looked upon as a mere duplication, and so it supposedly had to be suppressed. But the historic fact of the apparition of St. Michael the Archangel cannot be suppressed. Since the suppression of the feast of May the 8th on the conciliar calendar, even the feast of September the 29th has not been left untouched by the reformers. Further so-called simplification by those reformers forced St. Michael the Archangel to move over and make room for the archangels Gabriel and Raphael, so that all three are commemorated in a kind of package deal on the conciliar calendar on one day, as if they were no longer worthy to have feasts of their own. In connection with this, we are dismayed by the fact that belief in the existence of angels has been denied in modernist circles, and that Catholic school children have even been taught the heresy of the non-existence of the angels. But to return to the feast of the apparition of St. Michael the Archangel, we wish to say something about the apparition that took place, as an ancient tradition has it, on May the 8th, 490. Actually, that was the date of the first apparition of St. Michael the Archangel, who appeared on Mount Gargano also on certain later occasions. It happened one day that a farmer on Mount Gargano noticed that the bull was missing from his herd of cattle. After much searching, the stray bull was found caught in the mouth of a cave and apparently couldn't pull himself loose. A member of the searching party that found the bull thought he could make the bull yank himself loose from the mouth of the cave by wounding him with an arrow shot. But to everyone's consternation, the arrow spun around and came back and struck the man who had shot it at the bull, though the records do not say whether the man was killed or not by the rebounding arrow. Everyone was so filled with terror at this obviously supernatural occurrence that no one dared go close to the cave anymore. Not knowing what to make of this incident of the rebounding arrow shot back by some invisible force, the people of that area referred the matter to the bishop of the nearby city of Siponto. The bishop, being a man of deep faith, counseled the people to spend 3 days in special prayer and fasting, so that Almighty God would in His mercy manifest His holy will to them. When the 3 days were up, the Archangel Michael appeared to the bishop of Siponto and told him that the cave on Mount Gargano was under his protection. He informed the bishop that he used the incident of the rebounding arrow to bring to his attention the fact that the Most High desired to be worshipped in the cave, and that the cave should be dedicated to the honor of God and also of the angels. On receiving this revelation from the Holy Archangel, the Bishop of Siponto went to the mysterious cave personally, accompanied by various other persons, and he found the cave to be shaped like a church inside, as if providentially created for divine services. The cave was quickly converted into a church or large chapel, and the holy sacrifice of the Mass began to be offered there. Many miracles were afterwards wrought there. To this very day, the place is frequented by many devout pilgrims, although friends who have been there in recent times report that those who go there and many of those who live in that area do not show the proper reverence due to a sacred place. The shrine of St. Michael on Mount Gargano is not too far from San Giovanni Rotondo, made famous by the saintly Padre Pio. We have related in detail the story of the apparition of St. Michael the Archangel on Mount Gargano, because it is so important that we remember the workings of God through His holy angels. Therefore, the feast of the Holy Archangel Michael's apparition is one which we should not forget, and we should deplore the fact that the feast is no longer officially recognized on the conciliar church's updated liturgical calendar. And now we are ready to give our attention to the angel of Fatima, who is considered by certain authorities on Fatima to be, without doubt, St. Michael the Archangel. We wish to explain how it is practically certain, or at least very probable, that St. Michael the Archangel is indeed the angel of Fatima. Those who are well informed about the Fatima story know that this story began in the year 1915, 2 years before Our Lady made her 6 appearances in the Cova da Iria in 1917. It was on an unspecified date in 1915 that the angel appeared, and he appeared 3 times. To Lucia Fatima and to 3 other girls who were with her tending the sheep. Lucia did not specify the exact dates of the 1915 apparitions because she did not yet know how to read the calendar. Francisco and Jacinta Marto, Lucia's cousins, were not with her at the time of those 3 1915 apparitions. They were destined to be introduced to the supernatural world of God and of the angels the following year, 1916. The 3 apparitions of the angel in 1915 were silent apparitions, obviously intended by God to introduce Lucy Santos, the principal Fatima visionary, to the supernatural world gradually. No words were spoken by the angel in 1915. But in 1916, the angel of Fatima appeared three times to Lucy, Francisco, and Jacinta, who had by then become an inseparable trio of shepherds, tending together the sheep of the Santos and Marto families. Lucy could not recall the exact dates of the three 1916 apparitions of the angel of Fatima either. But she did say that the first apparition of that year took place sometime in the spring, while the second one occurred in midsummer, and the third one happened in the fall. Though the angel spoke to the three children at each 1916 apparition, he did not expressly tell them his name. He only gave them some of his titles, the Angel of Peace, the Angel of Portugal, the Guardian Angel of Portugal. To determine that this was none other than St. Michael the Archangel telling the children that he was the Guardian Angel of Portugal, we must go to the heart of the matter and begin, not with the springtime apparition of 1916, but rather with the apparition of midsummer. It is primarily from the midsummer apparition of 1916 that the identity of the Angel of Fatima becomes known, and is also presumably the date, the exact date of that apparition. The spring apparition does give at least an indication of the identity of the Angel of Fatima, but this becomes clear only after a consideration of the midsummer apparition. Furthermore, once the identity of the midsummer angel becomes known, as well as the date of the midsummer apparition, then it will be a simple matter to speculate on the probable dates of the spring and fall apparitions. On a hot midsummer's day in 1916, during the early afternoon siesta hour, when the older people were taking a nap, Lucy and Francisco and Jacinta were sitting on a shaded well covered with large slabs of stone just a short distance behind Lucy's house. The children didn't care to take a siesta, but preferred to play when they could, or simply sit around, or wander around carefree. They didn't have to tend the sheep because no one did that during the hottest hours of the day. The sheep were usually brought in from the pastures around noon, when it was getting quite hot already, and they were kept in the pen or in the shed until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when the heat of the day began to let up a bit, and it was safe to take them out to pasture again. While the children were sitting at what is today often called Lucy's Well, the angel whom they had seen at another location in the springtime suddenly appeared before them. He found them doing nothing in particular except wasting good time which they should have been using for prayer or for making sacrifices. "What are you doing?" the angel began, evidently intending to scold them for idling their precious God-given time away, doing nothing for the salvation of souls. And then he told them with emphasis, "Pray, pray a great deal. The hearts of Jesus and Mary have designs of mercy in regard to you. Offer prayers and sacrifices continually to the Most High." Lucy knew what it meant to pray, but she evidently didn't know what was meant by sacrifices. So she asked the angel, "How are we to offer sacrifices?" The angel replied with this explanation, "Make a sacrifice of everything that you possibly can and offer it to the Lord as an act of reparation for the sins by which he is offended and as an act of supplication for the conversion of sinners. In this way, bring peace upon your country. We can pause here momentarily to explain that the angel was using the word sacrifice in a more general and higher sense than that in which we usually use it. All too often, the word sacrifice is taken to mean only as giving up something that we should otherwise like to do or keep. Well, that is only one meaning of the word sacrifice. The English word sacrifice comes from the Latin word sacrificium, which literally means something that is made sacred. In other words, any good deeds or actions on our part, and not just the more difficult ones or the unpleasant ones, become a sacrifice or something sacred if we sanctify them by offering them to God for a holy purpose, such as for the purpose of reparation for sin, for the purpose of supplication for the conversion of sinners. So it is the offering of our good deeds to God that makes them sacred and makes them sacrifices in the literal sense of the word. All our daily good deeds should be offered to God, and then they become sacrifices. And now we must go on with the mystery of the angel of Fatima. When the angel said on that hot midsummer's day in 1916 that the children should pray and make sacrifices so as to bring peace upon their country, he immediately added, "I am its guardian angel, the angel of Portugal." To quote him completely, we must add that he said these last words before departing: "Above all, accept and bear with submission the suffering the Lord shall send you." The key to the whole mystery of the identity of the angel of Fatima is to be found in the word, "I am his guardian angel, the angel of Portugal." The sacrifice and prayer, the angel explained, you will bring peace upon your country. I am its guardian angel, the angel of Portugal. Already years ago, an outstanding authority on Fatima, Father Messias Coelho, a professor at the seminary of Fundão in Portugal, gave us some interesting facts about the guardian angel of Portugal. Some years before the Fatima apparitions, he said, the bishops of Portugal officially chose a guardian angel for their country. Portugal is said to have been the only country in the world, at least in those days, to have an officially chosen guardian angel. We know of countries whose bishops have officially chosen, for example, Our Lady as patroness of the country, as our American bishops did over 100 years ago in choosing our Immaculate Lady as the patroness of the United States. We have heard also of countries and dioceses being consecrated, for example, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, or specifically to the Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary. But it would take some research to find out if any other country besides Portugal has ever chosen an official guardian angel. But the Portuguese bishops of many years ago also named the angel of God whom they wanted as their guardian angel. They expressly chose Saint Michael the Archangel as the guardian angel of Portugal. In the scriptures, that is, in the book of Daniel the prophet, we find that Saint Michael the Archangel was guardian of the kingdom of Persia, which today is called Iran. And now in the 20th century we learn that Saint Michael is the guardian angel of Portugal, chosen as such by the hierarchy there. This by itself should be enough to make us wonder whether the angel speaking to the three Fatima children in the midsummer of 1916 and saying he was the guardian angel of Portugal was none other than the holy Archangel Michael, the Prince of the Heavenly Hosts. Knowing this much about the mystery of the Angel of Fatima, we can proceed to determining even the probable exact date of the 1916 midsummer apparition of that angel at Lucy's well. Lucy was not able to give any exact date for that midsummer apparition. But we know that the bishops of Portugal not only named Saint Michael as the Angel of Portugal, but they also established, with the permission of the Holy See, a feast of Saint Michael, the guardian angel of Portugal. And that feast, interestingly enough, was observed every year on the third Sunday in July. In 1916, the third Sunday in July fell on July the 16th. If the logic of Saint Michael the Archangel is like our logic in a matter of this nature, we would suppose that he would want to appear to the three shepherd children on his own feast, that is, on July 16th, 1916. And we believe that it pleased God to send the Holy Archangel to Fatima on that very day. It is sufficiently certain, then, that it was St. Michael the Archangel who appeared to the children on that hot midsummer day, which was probably July the 16th. The Angel of Fatima is definitely St. Michael the Archangel. Since we know this much for sure, we naturally get curious about those other two apparitions of the Angel of Fatima in 1916, the spring apparition and the fall apparition. Here again, we would logically conclude without hesitation that St. Michael most likely appeared on his two other feast days, May the 8th and September the 29th. Let us take up the 1916 spring apparition first. We have already learned some details about the feast of the apparition of St. Michael the Archangel on May the 8th. Is that the date of the 1916 springtime apparition of the Angel of Fatima? Was it May 8th, 1916? Again, we must say it would seem logical that May the 8th was the date of the springtime apparition. But do we have anything else to go by besides logical deductions or speculations or surmises? Yes, we do. We have an indication and almost a definite proof that May the 8th, 1916, was probably the date of the springtime apparition of the Angel of Fatima. First of all, according to Father Macias Coelho, whom we have already mentioned, Lucy did say that the angel appeared sometime during the month of May, though other Fatima authors did not know of this since they wrote their books before a more thorough research was made by Father Coelho. Then too, Lucy stated that a very strong wind began to blow just before the angel appeared. The three children were at the place called the Cabeço, which in English we could simply call the summit or the top of the hill. Or to stay with the Portuguese word, Cabeço, we can call it Mount Cabeço. This is the same hill, about a half mile or so to the northwest of Algestrel, which is the name of the native village of the Fatima children, where the children later, during the fall apparition, received Holy Communion miraculously from the hand of the angel. It was around the noon hour on that day in May in 1916. The children had taken their lunch and had followed that up with the recitation of the rosary, as was their daily custom. Then, as was also their custom, they began to play games with pebbles. It began to rain lightly for a while, and then that very strong wind, to which we have already referred, started to blow. So it was lunch, rosary, pebbles, rain, and wind. To protect themselves from the powerful wind, which made even the oak trees creak and groan, the three children took shelter among the large and mysterious rock formations of the cabeza, where the angel was to give them Holy Communion in the fall. Then, much to their surprise, the children saw this angel standing before them. He appeared like a strong young man, maybe around 16 or 17 years old, and he was not at all the effeminate or sugary-looking figure that we so often see in what passes for Christian art. The scriptures give us the impression that the angels of God appeared in the form of strong young men, and that this is one reason why they inspired fear in those who saw them. And so it was also that the angel of Fatima very probably appeared in the form of a strong young man. But before considering what the angel said to the children, let us give some attention to that strong wind that was blowing when the angel appeared. Sometimes, as for example at Lourdes, a strong gust of wind has been used by God to attract the attention of a visionary. And that gust of wind was only local. But was that the case in the 1916 spring apparition of the angel? Research has uncovered the interesting fact that on May the 8th, 1916, a very strong wind blew all over Portugal, as was reported in the newspapers for the following day, May the 9th. If this was the wind of which Lucy spoke, we could reasonably conclude that St. Michael, the angel of Fatima, appeared on his own feast day, the feast of the apparition of St. Michael the Archangel, on May the 8th. Thus we have two indications that May the 8th is the date of the spring apparition of 1916. That is, the strong wind and the likelihood that St. Michael would choose his own feast day for the May apparition. We must now quote the words of the angel in the spring apparition, because there is another hint at the identity of the angel, even though his identity became clear enough later in the midsummer apparition. The angel began like the angels of the scriptures. He said, "Do not be afraid." Then he immediately added, "I am the angel of peace. Pray with me." He at once prostrated himself with his forehead touching the ground and repeated three times this prayer, so well known to all who are intent on fulfilling the Fatima message. "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I beg thee pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, do not love thee." The children also prostrated themselves on their knees with their foreheads touching the ground and repeated the words of the prayer with the angel. Then the angel stood up and said, "Pray that way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are attentive to the voice of your supplications." The hint at the identity of the angel of Fatima is found in the title Angel of Peace. The angel told the children that he was the angel of peace. Does this title point to St. Michael the Archangel? Considering the deeds of St. Michael as recorded in the scriptures, we are justified in saying that he certainly does merit the title Angel of Peace. The Apocalypse of St. John the Evangelist tells us of the great battle of the angels in heaven, and in which St. Michael led the faithful angels to victory over Lucifer's rebellious angels. Under St. Michael's heroic leadership, eternal peace came to the heavenly realms of the angels. Thus, more than any other angel, St. Michael deserves to be called the Angel of Peace. Let us conclude with the third apparition of the angel in 1916. It seems very likely that this third 1916 apparition of St. Michael, the Angel of Fatima, occurred on his principal feast, September the 29th. But whether this is correct or not, we do well now to give our attention to the miraculous Holy Communion of that third 1916 apparition of the angel, and to the Eucharistic reparation prayer that he taught the three children then. The children were again among the mysterious rocks of Mount Cabezo when the angel suddenly came to them, this time carrying a sacred chalice and holding a sacred host above the chalice. From the host, drops of precious blood were falling into the chalice. Leaving the chalice and host suspended in midair, the angel prostrated himself on the ground as he had done in the spring apparition. And with the children imitating him, he repeated this well-known Eucharistic reparation prayer three times. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore thee profoundly, and I offer thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences by which he himself has offended. And by the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and those of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of thee the conversion of poor sinners. Then the angel stood up and took the sacred host and chalice into his hands once again. He placed the sacred host on Lucy's tongue and gave the precious blood from the chalice to Francisco and Jacinta. As he gave the children this miraculous Holy Communion, he said to them, "Take and drink the body and blood of Jesus Christ, horribly outraged by ungrateful men. Make reparation for their sins and console your God." Then the angel prostrated himself once again and recited three more times the Eucharistic reparation prayer with the children and disappeared. It was St. Michael, the Angel of Fatima. May the Lord bless you and give you peace.